Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone hear me at the back? Good. So today here we are to talk about cloud-powered load testing with Team Foundation Service. I'm sure it has been a good day since morning. We had all the exciting announcements around Windows 8.1, Visual Studio 2013, the Surface Pros, the Acer notebooks, and I'm sure you have had a lot of exciting sessions till now. I'm going to talk about cloud-powered load testing. This is a capability from Visual Studio 2013. Again, this is something which we are announcing today, and it's going to be available for use in preview mode from today. So before actually starting with the session, I just wanted to understand how many folks here have done load testing or do load testing as part of their regular jobs. Oh, so we have quite a lot of folks here who do load testing. For folks who do load testing, I hope this session helps you understand how Visual Studio 2013 can help it do it very easily. And for folks who don't do load testing, I hope this session can help you push towards doing it. Because personally, I think doing load testing is a very important aspect of any application you are doing, running, or developing. So I'm Ankit Saraf, program manager with I'm program manager with the India Development Center of Microsoft. I work in the Visual Studio Group. I've been with Microsoft for the last 5 years. I personally like testing and agile as two topics because these are the two things I've worked over in the last 5 years. So if you love them, you can catch me at the booth or after the session as well. I've worked on multiple Visual Studio releases since 2010. And I worked on features like lab management, code coverage, unit testing. Folks have used any of them? So they are not so, not a lot of folks have used it. So I hope at least after all of those features, for the last 1 year, I've been the product owner for this cloud-powered load testing service. So I worked on this. We started building this service about a year ago from scratch. We have an on-premise product for load testing in Visual Studio. We took that up. We modified it in a way to be a cloud-native service, and we built this service, which we are going to talk about right now. And so I worked on it for the last 1 year. I hope next time around when I'm here, I'll see more hands when I ask about folks who have worked on products which I've built. Lastly, that's slightly off topic. If you ever get to visit India, go to Leh region in Himalayas. They have nice cycling tracks. So in this particular case, I was cycling down the Himalayas. That's a distance about 25 miles. And in those 25 miles, you can descend about 8,000 feet. So it's really fast and really nice feeling. And basically, there's no road there, OK? The roads are wiped off because of the heavy snowfall. So it's fun if you ever get to do that. So let's get started with load testing by understanding what are the top challenges we generally see with load testing. The first thing which comes into our mind when we talk about load testing is, hey, how will I get all the machines to generate that load or simulate that load? And generally, let's have a poll here. How many folks are from enterprises and how many are from like startups? So enterprises first. So a bunch of them. And I know all of you understand how hard it is to get new machines procured. It's really painful. You have to inform the IT, and IT is going to take like 3 months to get those machines procured. You have to budget it for them in the accounting year and all those things. So it's really painful and really slow. The second problem we have is cost. So when I talk about cost, first is the capital cost of those machines, which we just talked about. And the second cost is in terms of rebuilding all your assets for load testing. Most of the load testing tools, they do not let you reuse your functional test assets or the unit test assets to run your load test with. Whereas with Visual Studio, you can do that. And lastly, the utilization. Even after doing all these investments around getting the machine set up, writing your test, executing them, the utilization remains low because it's really painful to do load testing. Most of the folks I have talked with do load testing once in 3 months kind of thing. which is like, it's an accident waiting to happen. You don't know when your application is going to crash if you're not load testing it regularly. At the end of this session, I hope that I'll be able to solve some of the challenges which we discussed right now, and you'll be able to go back and load test your applications easily. For doing that, this is the agenda we are going to follow today. We'll start with a quick refresher kind of course on doing load testing using Visual Studio. So for folks who have done load testing using Visual Studio, you can take this as a refresher, and folks who are new to Visual Studio load testing can take this as an introductory session. Once we do that, we are going to use the same assets and run the same test on the cloud using the cloud powered load testing. After that, we'll spend some time discussing how's the architecture, how was the service built, and who were the early adopters, and what are the next steps available. Especially around the architecture thing, I know this is a purely dev crowd, and you guys love architecture. That's why I included it here. And if we find that you guys are not interested in that, we'll skip that part. And last, we'll keep some time for questions and answers. So for doing the, let me switch to my machine here for a second. So for doing this session today, I'm going to act as the product owner for this music store website. So this is just like any other retail website we have. E-commerce retail, where I can go and buy music, I can browse for music, I can purchase it. So we're going to act as the product owners for this one today. And this is the only asset I have created pre-hand. Everything else we are going to do as part of the demo. I'll switch back to the slides here once again. OK. So load testing using Visual Studio 101. So the capabilities I'm showing right now in the first session, or the first part, are there in Visual Studio since 2005. These are not new capabilities. These are available in Visual Studio Ultimate since 2005. And we have kept on updating this toolset in every release. In Visual Studio 2012 Update 2, we supported SharePoint load testing as well. So when we talk about performance and load testing, a lot of terms get thrown around, like performance testing, load testing, stress, scale, endurance, capacity, and a lot of other terms as well. So while we go through this session, I want all of us to be on the same page. So I'm going to define a few terms which I'm going to use. And if I diverge off them, you can always point me out. So first thing, when I build any application, I want to understand is how is my application's behavior. How is its responsiveness? How is its reliability? How is its scalability? That's from a perspective of a single user. So that's something which we call as performance testing. Once I've defined the performance of my application, I've tested it, and it's good enough, the next thing I need to do is to see how will my application behave in production? Will it be able to sustain the load when continuous users are coming onto my website and they are hitting it? That's something what we call as load testing. In a particular scenario where we are the product owner for music store, it might happen that tomorrow or day after tomorrow there's a big launch. Say Justin Bieber is launching something or Rihanna is launching a new music album. So we might see a rush of users onto the application. So this is not the normal load we'll see in production on a regular basis, but this is the load which we see once in a while. So that's something called stress testing. Can my application handle those loads which happen once in a while? At this point of time, when we are doing this testing, we are not trying to see if the application is behaving as performant as it is in a normal case. We are just trying to make sure that it does not crash and it has acceptable behavior kind of experiences. And lastly, after we have done all this testing, when the question comes of putting our application into production, we need to answer the IT guys again. Hey, how many servers do you need for this application? What will be the scale you're going to see? So that's something we call as scale and capacity testing. About the last point, it's really interesting if your app is hosted in Azure or, say, any other cloud provider. Because if I can answer that question and predict that as per the scale I'm going to see over the next year or two, I can really save a lot of money. I need not over-provision my machines. If I can answer that, hey, I need only two web roles to run this application for the usage I'm going to see over the next 1 year, that's all. I'll run them. So it becomes really interesting from cloud perspective. So we'll start with the demo now. That was almost all the slides I have. Let me just roll up my sleeves, because otherwise the demo can go off track. Let's get the hands dirty. OK, I'm going to close this. OK, my mouse is showing up. Good. So I'm going to close this IE session now. I have this Visual Studio session on here. I have created no assets right now. This is Visual Studio 2013. So I'll start with creating a new project type. I'm going to go to this File, New, Project option. Under that, inside the test templates, there's this web performance and load test project type. Let me zoom in there for folks at the back. So we have this project template type called web performance and load test project, which is a specific template for creating the performance and the load test we are going to use today. So I'm going to create that. Let's call it build load test. So Visual Studio is going to create a template for me, a project out of that, and it is creating something called a blank web test, which is showing up here as webtest1.webtest. It's a blank web test. So this is a declarative web test format, which Visual Studio understands. You can define all the URLs which need to happen at the HTTP layer. It will work at the HTTP layer. So all the transactions which happen at the HTTP layer can be defined here, and Visual Studio will play back them for our performance testing. But the good part is I don't need to hand code them, or I don't need to define them manually. We have a recording facility available here. I'm going to go to this record button. In the top menu bar, this is the add recording button. I hope it's very intuitive. Once I hit the add recording button, my browser pops up, and there's this web test recorder on the left-hand side we can see. This web test recorder is going to record all the actions we are going to do right now. So I, as the owner of Music Store, now want to record my web test. And we know as retail website owners that the most common thing we see is folks coming onto our website, browsing for stuff, and then going off without buying it. Most of the folks are just checking for the prices because they want to compare with Walmart or Best Buy somewhere. So I'm going to go to Music Store now. And as I do my actions, we can see that on the left-hand side, the URLs are coming up. I'll zoom in later so that you guys can read them. Let me browse to, say, rock, because I like rock music. And I think Led Zeppelin might be a good idea. Oh, this looks like a good album, but it's really costly. Let's go back to another album. Chemical Wedding looks like a nice idea. Ah, again, too costly. I'm not interested in buying all of them, any of them, in fact. So that's it. Suppose this is the common user session we see where folks come to a website and do a bunch of actions. And now if I come back here, we can see that the actions which we did got recorded here with the URLs and all. I can hit the stop button at this point of time. And Visual Studio will now import all that recording and create my web test. Visual Studio right now is doing something called as dynamic parameter detection. So when we create websites, the URLs are not static. They might include stuff like timestamps. They might include stuff like session IDs. Or if you're using SharePoint applications, there are a bunch of cookies which gets handed off from one URL to from one page to another page when the requests are being made. So Visual Studio is intelligent enough to detect all of that by doing this action and encodes them in the web test so that we don't have to do it manually. So it's saying it did not detect any dynamic parameters to promote because it's a very simple e-commerce application. So it just created the web test. With this, my test is now ready for doing performance testing. So let me come here and hit this run test button again on the top menu. Once I do that, this web test runner comes up, which is going to run our web test. We will see all the information around how much time each test, each URL is taking, what's the response time, what's the request size. Okay, Now we have a demo problem here. What's happening? Okay, it's going. I think folks are really killing the internet here. I'll request you to stop downloading 2013. Do it after, after I complete the demo. Otherwise, we can't do the demo. Most of the demo is on the internet. Ah, shit. Please, folks, I mean, the Surface Pro you're gonna get will have Visual Studio install on it. You don't need to download it. Let me see. I'm not kind. Okay, so we'll wait for this to finish. We won't wait for this to finish. Let it go. So what we are actually seeing here is that it's running each URL one by one, showing us the total time it's taking for that URL, the request time, and the response size and everything. So now I can use this web test for my performance testing. I can do this as a functional test. I can monitor these responses build over build, and then validate whether my tests are running or not. So with this, we'll let this run. I'll come back to my test. So we know this was a browse scenario, so I'm going to rename this test now. I'll come here, right-click on my web test, hit rename, and call it browse. Okay. Now, another interesting thing we have with tests generally is that we record tests in one environment, or we write tests for one environment, and then we run them in multiple environments. Now, I don't want to be going and recording this test in each individual environment, say my production, my pre-production, my stress, and my dev test environments. So Visual Studio helps us there as well. So for this web test, I can go here. I have this option called parameterize web server available here. Okay? I'm going to hit that now. What that does is it recognizes all the web server names in the web test and parameterizes them for us and provides them to us so that we can change them. I'm going to hit OK here, which basically parameterizes this, and we have this available as a parameter now. If I wanted to change this server to something else, I could do that. Okay. Let me save the test here. Maybe the website. The website is performing fine. I don't know. Why is my okay, sorry. Demo Blues can't help it. This is a fresh build of Visual Studio only. Latest one. Okay. So we have one web test defined here. Let's define one more here, wherein we'll go and add some music to the cart. So for adding another web test, I can simply right-click on my project, go to Add option, and there's a web performance test option. I'm going to click on that, which will again bring up the browser for me. I can hit my website again. This time I'm not going to go into details. I'm just going to record the session fast. Add to cart. And the details got captured again on the left-hand side. I can hit stop again. Okay, it recorded. So basically, because the other test got stuck, Visual Studio refers to do the dynamic parameter detection. But we know there are no dynamic parameters right now, so I'm going to ignore that error. I'm going to rename this now to add to cart. Dot web test. So I have my two web tests ready. One of the common things, we have built a lot of functionality into the web test. Capabilities to do data-driven web test, capabilities to write your plugins to change the way in this tests are performing while they're running, change the request parameter, response parameters, everything. But still, as developers, we want all the power in our hand. So Visual Studio, again, provides that as an option. I have this option here called generate code. I hope you guys can see that, yeah. So once I hit that option, what Visual Studio is going to do is take this web test and create a C# code out of this. Now, this C# code is considered like any other test in Visual Studio, and I can use this to do either my performance testing, and we are going to use this test again when we do our load test. So let me just build it because we wrote new code. Save it, build it. Okay. So with this thing, I can define all kinds of tests I need for my performance testing. Now let's get started with defining a load test. For defining my load test, I'm again going to go to my project, right-click on it, go to the add option, and there's a load test option there. I'm going to hit that. Once I hit that, I get this nice wizard which has a lot of information about the options and a lot of options as well, because load testing is complex and you want to simulate a lot of different variances when you are doing it. I'm going to skip through some of the pages here. On the first page, I get the option to define the name for my scenario. As we know that this is a browse and add to cart scenario, I'm going to do that. Then I'm going to click the next button here. Now, this page defines a load pattern. When I mean load pattern, this page defines how many concurrent users I want hitting my application when I'm doing this load test. There are two options to define here. Let me just zoom in here. Yeah, there are two options which I can define here. One is the constant load pattern. So when I define constant load patterns, that number of users are going to constantly hit the application when we run the test. And if I define a step load pattern, for example, So if I do change it to a step load pattern, what's going to happen is the user count is going to start with 10 concurrent users. It's going to step up 10 by 10 users every 10 seconds until it reaches 200, and then it will maintain at 200. So I can simulate various patterns saying, hey, how will my application behave if the user load increases? How will my application behave if my user load is constant? For our demo today, let's go with a constant load pattern of 200 users. I'm going to hit next. Now, this page helps me define, as I was saying, various mechanisms to change how the tests are run. We'll go with the default option here right now. Next page is where I can define what tests to run. Once I hit this add button here, I'm going to get this wizard, which is going to show me all the tests which were available to me as part of my solution right now. So we defined two tests, and we created the code for one. I can see all three of them here. So basically, if I had my unit tests written in a way that they go hit my web service, or if my test, there were other test assets which were written by my developers or my testers, I could use them as well here. They would simply show up for me here, and I could simply select all of them and add them. And there's one more facility to change the distribution of the test, how much I want to run. As we discussed, browse is a very common scenario for us, so I'm going to move the slider up to 80% and let the remaining two remain around 20% each, 10% each. So you can see that I was able to do that. I'm going to hit next now. Then there's a network mix. We'll go with the default option to use all the network capacity. Then there's a browser mix. So if I have applications, which is very common nowadays, which give different websites or different results based on the browser header, so it's a mobile website, it's, say, different from IE of Chrome or Firefox, I can do that as well here. So I'm going to go and add the defaults, so I get Chrome and Firefox. So what's now going to happen is when we run the load test, currently the distribution is 30% each. 30% time each of this browser header is going to be sent to the application. So if our application was behaving differently from different browsers, we can even catch that. I know IE is still above 50%, so I'm going to move it to 50%. That's right, right? And I'll keep Chrome and actually Firefox has really lost it, so let's move it to 10%. And I'm going to hit next here. I'm going to skip this page for now. Which brings us to the last page in our test, which is about defining how much time we want to run the test for. For our demo, 10 minutes is going to be a long wait, so I'm going to change it to 1 minute. I can also define a warm-up duration. So another thing with load testing is if my app or my app server is cold, and if I start hitting with sudden load, the results I'm going to get are not correct. So I don't want that. It usually happens, right? You get a report from your tester saying, hey, this is not working. And the first question you ask is, hey, was the server warm enough? Or did you hit it on a cold server? So you can do that as well. Warm up the server, so we'll slightly ramp up the load before we start hitting with the full load. That's a warm-up duration. With this, I will hit finish. Visual Studio will again create a declarative load test for me. You guys can see it here. It shows a nice breakdown of all the information we have, all the test mix, all the browser mix we defined. With this, I'm ready to run my load test. Let's rename this load test to Music Store, because that's what we are doing. And I can come to this run option now on my left-hand side, again in the top menu, and hit that. Once I do that, now Visual Studio is going to use, because this was a local load test done on my box, Visual Studio is going to use my box to generate all the load. All the 200 users are getting simulated from this box right now, and the tests are running. While the test is running, I can see some information around how the counters are. I can see my average page time for various pages in my test. I can see, let me go back here and zoom in for you guys. I can see my user load, pages per second, average page time information. So a bunch of counters are available while the test is running. So if something is going wrong right now, I can take action and maybe stop the test right now instead of waiting till the end to get all the results. There's more information available around errors and all as well. So while this test is running, this test I'm running from my box. So this is going to be there's going to be eventually a limit of how many users my box can simulate. But if you really want to generate load, you need to set up machines. We are not going to talk about that today because we are here to talk about the cloud power capability. But with Visual Studio Ultimate, you can set up as many agents as you want to generate load. That's available as part of Ultimate. You don't have to buy separate licenses for that, unlike others. So now the results are being generated. And once the run is completed, we get a rich summary which is useful to be shared, wherein I can see information around what were my top five slowest pages and information around each page as well. See, folks, last time around, it was taking 20 seconds. And now even with 200 users, it's 3 seconds. Ah, demo blues. OK, so now this summary is good enough. It's a good summary. And I would like to share it with my peers. So we can do that. I can go hit this View Source button, which will open the source in HTML. I'm going to now go to File, save it as, say, report.html. And if I go back to my desktop, now this report is available to me as a HTML report, which I can simply share with my manager. So no more extra work to create reports after you've done your testing. Simply share it. OK. So let me close this. OK, so this was it about the load testing capabilities. How do we define a web test? How do we define load test? All these capabilities have existed since 2005. I'll switch back to the demo to the presentation right now. So we'll just do a demo recap of what all we saw right now. First, point zero was configuring test environment. I did that beforehand by installing Visual Studio on my box. If we were using test agents, I would have set up 5 or 10 machines, installed test agents on top of that, and configured them. Then we authored the web test and the load test. Then we ran the test. Then we saw the results, and we were ready to fix the performance or skill problems we would have seen in the results. With this, yeah, this was easy. And I was able to generate load from my box. Now let's go look at the cloud power load testing capabilities. And we'll directly jump into the demo here. Let me switch back. So now running this test, so this is the same test we had defined earlier. Everything is as it is. Running this test is so easy that anybody can do it. So for doing that, I'm going to go to this test settings file, which is available in my solution on the right-hand side. I'm going to double-click on that. Okay. So folks who are familiar with Visual Studio and testing must have seen this test setting files earlier as well. But we have modified it slightly to make it useful for cloud-powered load testing as well. Now on the front page itself, you get an option saying, hey, do you want to run this test locally on your computer or a test controller hosted locally? Or do you want to run this test using the Team Foundation service? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to select the option. And once I do that, I'm ready. I'm just going to hit apply. I'm going to close. That's all. That's all I need to do to run this load test onto the cloud. Sorry, one more thing, actually. I need to make sure I'm connected in the Team Explorer. But I'm sure most of you will always be connected to the Team Explorer. So I'm connected to my Team Foundation service account here. And this was it. I'm again going to go back to my Run Load Test option and hit the Run Load Test. Let's hope this goes. Fingers crossed, everybody. Yeah, it went. So what just happened right now is Visual Studio took that test, packaged it up, and sent it to the cloud. Now those tests are understood by the load testing service. It will be handed off to agents for running. And we should see the test running in about 30 seconds right now. It takes about 30 seconds to 45 seconds to start. So it actually got the agents to run the test. It's configuring them right now. Let's just wait. And everything's slow today. It has started. So one thing while this test is happening, so as these agents are now in the cloud and we don't control those agents anymore, there's a capability to do setup and deployment as part of the test settings itself. So if you have any certificates which you need to install on your agents before they can interact. So suppose your website has some certificate-based authentication, or if you are doing unit tests and your unit tests depend on some data sources to do some kind of data manipulation on your websites, those capabilities exist as part of the test setting. You can define deployment items, you can define setup and cleanup scripts, and they will execute before actually starting the test. For us now, it was a simple test, so the test has started, and we can see the counters coming in. I can see the average page time, average response time, the user load counters. I can go to throughput, and I can see the tests per second, pages per second counters as well. And so this is the first, as I said, we built this service over the last 1 year. So this is just the first view of what we were able to achieve till now. You're going to see more capabilities in this over time. So our test has completed now. We can see the timer has completed. And the counters are flowing in. So what's going to happen right now is Visual Studio is now going to package up all the results for us and enable us to download them. While that is happening, let me show a new functionality which again got introduced with the cloud powered load testing. So now all the tests I'm running, they are running against my service account, Team Foundation service account. And my team members are also running them. So we have introduced a capability so that you can see all the tests which are being run. I can go to load test manager option here under the load test menu. I'm going to hit that, which will bring up this new UI. So this new UI can show me all the tests which were done on my service account. So if anybody in our team is doing load testing using the service, we can see all the results from here. I can filter based on the state of the runs, the date, so let's say I want to see all the runs done in the last 7 days. I can filter, say, show me only my runs. I can also see this run which was done by, say, John in my team. And I can see the reports for that as well. Okay, coming back to our test is completed. The report is available for download. I'm going to hit the download report button. What's going to happen is the entire results is going to get downloaded onto our machine, and it will be available to us. Once I click this view report button, we get back the same experience which we had in the on-premise experience. All those capabilities, the entire graphs, the entire table sets, the entire summary, everything is available as it is. Not only this, I'm going to use now this report, and I'm going to generate an Excel report to compare this run with the run which we did earlier using MyBox. So I'm going to go and hit this Create Excel Report button, again in the top menu, which will pop up Excel for me. Yeah. There's again a wizard. Yeah, I want to create a report. Yeah, I want to do a run comparison. I'm going to use my music store run. And let's say build reboot. What happened? What was the test we ran? Again, demo blues. We should have seen more than one run here. Okay, something messed up. Okay, I'll use a test which I had done earlier, because for some reason the run is refusing to show up here. So these were two runs which I had done earlier. I can click them and hit next. I can hit finish. And this will generate a nice Excel report again, which can be shared with our team easily. And it has all the information around, let's just wait. So it has a rich set of information around all the counter sets which were done in the test, what were the values. Just see the number of counter sets. OK, it's ready. So there were two runs which we did. We can do a We can do a test comparison. It's not able to compare them. Ah. Let me go back just a second. It's load test one. Not load test, okay. Okay, something is not working fine here. Okay, sorry. So ideally this report would have been richer. Sorry for the problems here with the demo. This report should have been richer here, where we could have seen a comparison between the two runs to show what was the time the baseline run took and what was the time the comparison run took. Don't save. Yeah. Now this was about running the load test with say with our default sets, right? Where we ran it with the 200 constant user load we had seen earlier. Now let's scale it up. So I'm going to close all of these windows. I'm going to come to my load test again. I'm going to go to this option about constant load pattern. So the value is 200 as we set it earlier. I'm going to change it to, say, 5,000 now. Okay. I've done that. Now, once I change the user load, I need to increase the number of agents as well, which I need. So I'm going to go to this run setting option here. There's this new option which has come up here, agent count total cores. So by default, the value here is 0, which means let the service decide how many agents it needs. The current capabilities in the service will only put one agent in these scenarios because we haven't been able to finish those scenarios completely. But right, so for now, I'm going to say I need, let's say, 20 agents. How do 20 agents sound? So I'm going to put 20 agents there, and I'm going to run the test again. Again, the same set of actions are happening. The test is being packaged, sent to the cloud. Now, this time around, the test won't start in 30 seconds because we are actually procuring those 20 machines from Azure, setting it up for you, and then we'll start the test. So the test is going to take about 5 to 10 minutes. That's the average we are seeing to start. So we are not going to wait for it. We'll switch back to our presentation for now and come back to it later. So let's again do a recap. We just saw that, hey, I don't need the first point here. Yeah. We just saw that with the cloud power load testing, I just need to author my test, run those tests, analyze my results, and I'm ready to fix my performance or the scale problems. It was so easy. Coming on to the next section of our talk today, where we talk about the architecture, early adopters, and next steps. So the architecture. So I know you folks love architecture, and especially I'm sure cloud architecture. So we rebuilt this service from ground up. We did not take the test controller and test agent product as it is and put it in the cloud. We actually rewrote all of it. But we rewrote it in such a way that Visual Studio can directly talk to it. We saw that we didn't need to do any change to run the test. And the same compatibility works, whether the test, if the test is working for you on-premise, it will work in the cloud. What happens is once the Visual Studio starts the test, it talks with the load test web service, which is running on a web role in Azure, which then hands off the test to a worker role, which is again similar to the test controller which we have on-premise, which understands the load test, talks with all the agents, understands how many agents it needs to run the test. So that's what is happening right now in our case, wherein the state changed to acquiring resources, right? So the worker role is right now working on getting this agent allotted from the dynamic pool of agents to the test. It will allot the agents to this test, then hand off the test to the agents. These agents are standard Azure worker roles, which are going to take the test, do the setup and deployment as I described earlier, and then they're going to connect to a results database. This result database is, again, a standard SQL Azure database, which is used for our live results, which we saw. And later, again, when we had the full result store available, it was this database only which we took the results from and made it available. We also use the tables and blobs to store this data. So all your data goes to a secure blob for your account, stays there. Nobody else can access it once the test is done. Even the agents I'm talking about, this dynamic pool of agents. So once the agents get assigned to your test, they are exclusively assigned to your test. They are not shared with anybody else. After the test, we simply destroy the agents. We do not even reuse them or clean them. We simply destroy them to make sure your data remains safe on those agents. So that's about the architecture. And the reason we rewrote is because in cloud, you're not sure when your machines can get yanked off. And you can really scale high as well, so as we are doing in that test for 20 agents. Still showing acquiring resources for me. We'll wait for that to change. So this service can scale. And when I'm talking about scale, let me actually talk about that. So this service has been in development for last 1 year, and we have been running a private preview for this for last 7 months. But one particular thing which I want to highlight is we had this 2011 elections, 2012, that's a mistake by me. We had the presidential elections last year, right? This time around, I'm sure we heard no news about Florida state having problems with their election application or their counting. Because for the 2012 election, the election commission actually decided to build their app on top of Azure. And when they built this app on top of Azure, they were engaging with the Microsoft Consulting Services. So they actually used this service to run their load testing before the election dates. So that was in the late October 2012 timeframe. Over a two-week period, they actually generated a 70 million virtual user minutes load. So when I mean 70 million virtual user minutes, they had, so if I had to say that if I ran that test for 1 minute, there were 70 million users hitting the application in a minute. They actually did it over a period of 2 weeks with the peak loads of around 100,000 users hitting the website, but that was the total sum. Over the last 7 months, 12 internal teams have also been using it. The service. Two teams which I especially want to call out there is the Team Foundation service. So folks who are familiar with Team Foundation service, it's TFS available as a service. It's been out there for 2 years now. So this, again, in Microsoft, we have this concept of dog food where we say, hey, test your own applications using the tools you are building. So that's what they have been using this load testing service for testing the Team Foundation service itself. And they use it regularly every sprint to sign off their production deployment. And when I'm talking about Team Foundation service, it's not small. I think there are 100,000 plus accounts there. And the second one is Skype. I don't need to talk about the scale of Skype. Last I checked in my Skype, it was saying 50 million concurrent users. So some of the teams in Skype have started using the service. Over the last 2 months, we started actually reaching out to external folks as well to use the service. And 10 external MVPs have been using the service for the last 2 months. They use it to test their own application. They use it to test others' applications as well, their customers' application as well. The reason I want to talk about this slide are two. One, when I talked about scale, I'm going to show it to you when those 20 agents start running. And the second thing is we actually have seen the scale over the last 1 year. And the second reason is we are doing customer-driven development here, wherein we constantly hear from you guys and build the service in a way such that it's usable for you from day one. All these folks, they have been helpful to us to bring the service to this point where I was able to select, I was able to take the same load test, select one option, and run it. That was about the scale and the early adopters part. Let's talk about the next steps. As you know, all of you guys are getting Surface Pro, and Visual Studio 2013 is installed on that. So no need to install anything else on top of that. Go create a Team Foundation Service account. It's free for you. There's a 5-user limit, but you can create it for free. Try the preview. The service I showed right now is free to use during preview period. It's a costly service to run. I'm sure all of you will understand that the market charges like $50 per hour for this kind of service. So it's a free service to use during the preview period. There's a limit on the usage of about 15,000 virtual user minutes, which we think should be enough for most of the folks to do, say, one sign-off test in a sprint. So we have kept it at a usable capacity. It's not really low for you. Once you try it out, and you run out of the usage per month, and you like the service, join the early adopter program. As an early adopter, we'll be able to give you more usage, and you'll be able to work closely with us to define how the service goes. That's the URL, and the details to join the early adopter program should be available there. So when we we actually have time. I'll just switch back to, so our run actually started. We can see that the user load is really going at 5,000. The average page time is going up because naturally 5,000 user load is a lot. I have the application running on just 4 small web rows on Azure. So this was expected, and I think we should be able to see some errors. And my pages per second and the request per second time is also going up. So now this test is running. So this is actually running with 20 agents right now. And if you download the results, we'll be able to see that. Let me switch back. So when we started the session with 3 challenges, saying, hey, provisioning machine is painful and slow. The cost of doing load testing is high because of the machines as well as the time it takes to define those tests. And the utilization remains low. I'm sure with cloud power load testing and Visual Studio 2013, I can claim that provisioning machines is super easy. I just need my laptop or maybe the Surface like that guy out there. For the cost perspective, you are only going to pay for the usage you do. It's free during the preview period, so there's no cost on that. Once we have the billing enabled, we'll have a pay-for-usage model. And the utilization is on demand, and you can do it as much as you want. That's it, folks. I finished about in 15 minutes. We have time for question and answers.
Maybe this is after preview, but will I be able to select which data center I drive load from?
So the question is, can I select which data center I drive load from? That's on top of one of the things on top of a backlog. We are striving to get there. There are a lot of challenges in getting there because of there are legal issues as well where we can generate the data from. Right now, all that data is going to get generated from US data centers only.
I have a question.
Please.
Or 6. Do you have to, let's say, for example, you have a whole bunch of stuff running in Windows Azure. And you have WCF services and things like that. Can I use this?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Can I use this to test my WCF services?
Yeah, you can use this to test your WCF services.
And how do I have to load my code up into the shared TFS, set up an account?
No, you don't have to do that. So even my solution here,
yeah.
Let me just show. My solution here, open folder in File Explorer, it's just in my documents thing. I did not have the code onto the onto the TF service.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need your code to be onto the TF service. As the agents, they are running in the cloud on Azure data centers. Only thing we need is that this URL should be a public-facing URL.
Right.
I had my application running on Azure. I could have that application running out of my data center as well if it was exposed to the public internet. So you don't need to be on Azure to use the service. Only the load generation is going to happen out of the
service. Wait, I'm confused. So I don't have to have my code in the hosted TFS?
No, you don't need
but
that.
But if I have an Azure service running in Windows Azure, I can test it from instance itself?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so
you can have your service running anywhere. It can be on Azure. It can be on any other cloud provider. It can be in your data center as well.
Okay, so to do that, I guess I'd write some kind of thing that would call all the things I want to test.
Sure.
And then run that. So if I wanted, all of our services require authentication. So is there a way to like run it for 100 different customers at the same time and pass it 100 different accounts?
Yeah, sure. So we have authentication capabilities built into Visual Studio Web Test. Okay, let me just check. There's set credentials capability as well. And then I can also set.
But I can't set them once.
No, you can bind them to a data source.
Okay.
I can bind them to a data source which has all your 100 customers you want, and it will work.
Okay. And does it do any resource testing on like the local disk? So we use local disk in our Azure instances for caching. Is that, does it do any kind of load testing on that to see if we're totally making a bad mistake?
Your WCF service is using that?
Yeah, it's not like, it's not a permanent cache. It's state free.
Okay. So
it's a temporary thing.
Right now we are, so what's happening is if your test code is written in such a way that it's hitting your web service, right? And the web service is going to get loaded, which will load the underlying local disk.
Mm-hmm.
So you can capture all that information using this itself. So you'll have to hit the web service, and it will capture the counters.
So I have to capture the perf counters on the web service side.
Web service, right. Right now, we are not able to capture those counters from your application under test. And the reason was, when we were doing that early adoption, we heard from a lot of customers who are running in the cloud that they already have one way or another to capture their own counters. They either use WAD, Windows Azure Diagnostics, they use New Relic, they use some other form already. So we couldn't get to that. We'll work towards building that up, wherein you'll be able to see a single view of the counters from the agents and from the application as well. Was that your question?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
What about data-intensive Silverlight apps? You could not record the Silverlight apps with the old recorder.
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the recorder in web server, the recorder inside the browser cannot record that, but Fiddler has a plugin capability available which can record that. In fact, I had this Vinet app, modern app, same thing for my music store, and I had recorded this web test out of that.
Win8 app, right?
Yeah, sorry. I should not load in that one.
Can the Win8 app be data-driven so you can give it a database, a spreadsheet?
Right. So what I let me just open the test here. So I'm going to add existing item. And let me open it. So what you see, I had used Fiddler to capture this recording and generate this code. There's a single button option available there. And as you can see, this web test is like any other web test we define. So you can do all the data-driven spreadsheet database or whatever you want. All the data-driven capabilities, all the authentication capabilities, all the parameterization capabilities are available here. So if I did this with a Winet modern app, even if I had a rich client app on the desktop, even if I had Silverlight app, I could cap. So anything which can be captured in Fiddler can be used to generate the web test.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I got a quick one for you. If we want to do some sort of continuous integration, are there any hooks to tie in any of the performance testing against the build server or any automated builds?
Okay, so out of the product, there are no direct hooks available. But as part of our build templates, we can always invoke tests. So this will be one more test capability which you can invoke. So you'll have to configure it on your build server to invoke a load test on the cloud service. But that's the way. There's no direct option. Like if I go to build service today and I can select an option, say, publish this to Azure. Similarly, there's no option right now to say run load test after that. We are going to build that overnight.
And it doesn't matter if it runs from cloud service or not.
Right.
Right. Okay. And the last one. So I know you said it's so easy, everyone can run it. But oftentimes I find like the operational folks, they don't have quite the skill set to load a test project and run it. Are there any sort of self-service options or any easy way to can kind of load tests for others to run who may not
right.
have
the,
it at this
the,
point?
Yeah, the self-service option will be, let's say I had my solution here. I'm going to add it to solution control, source control. I can add it to my source control simply. And now my operation folks can go into my, they need to just have Visual Studio on their box. So let me actually do that for you. So let me invoke another Visual Studio. I go to my Team Explorer. So I can now go to my Solution Explorer, pull the... pull the solution back again. Make sure my setting is set to run using service. And hit run.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't think it can be easier than that.
Yeah, I think the Visual Studio dependency or Visual Studio requirements.
Yeah, Visual Studio is still a requirement.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, please, sir.
What about testing non-HTTP protocols?
So we do not have anything to test non-H applications right now. You can continue to use the on-premise products which we have, wherein you have to set up the agents manually. But most of the capabilities, except for the ease of use, are still available there, right? So all the capabilities I showed, the only difference was here we didn't have to do any setup for the machines. Everything else I talked about, the Excel reporting, the summary reporting, the setup, deployment, web test, unit test, all of that is still supported there. So that's the solution right now. I have 2 minutes, so I can take two more questions, please.
Is this only available on Ultimate?
Still available only on Ultimate. So if you want to try it out, you have like 2013 Ultimate, which you can try completely. Even otherwise, it will be available as part of Ultimate Preview as well. Yeah, please, sir. So when I mean it's going into production, it's already into production. It's running as part of the Team Foundation service. We are calling this as preview because we haven't enabled billing on this. I do not have a definite timeline to enable billing on this, but otherwise, it's in production for all purposes. Like the teams I talked about, Team Foundation service, Skype, the other teams like SQL, Azure, and others, who are using this service for their regular sign-offs, the sign-offs we do every sprint, they're using the service. They're not using any other solutions anymore. So it's in production for all practical purposes. Last question, please.
Is there any way to test on-premise applications using this behind a firewall or DMZ?
Yeah, that's a question I just answered before
okay.
this. You will have to use the existing on-premise product where you will have to set up the agent's machine. We will try to get this capability so that we can go behind the firewall as well. In fact, one of our customers, what he did is the website was in his data center, but they were able to punch holes through the firewall. Because these agents are hosted in a single Azure data center, you can do a selective punching, saying, okay only allow load to come from this particular IP range and hit the application. So that's one solution which we are recommending right now.
Thank you.
Welcome. Okay, we are down to last 30 seconds. Last question, if any. Otherwise, we are done.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.